are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Certainly, that's where you're at. Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. This is the Maranatha Drive, the lunchtime, in fact, it's the drive time show, right? And we are together as we are making sense this afternoon in our Bible Corner segment of Christ's life as it was prophesied, right? It's a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, we're going to be looking at some of the prophetic messages from the Old Testament that were fulfilled by the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ as recorded even in the New Testament. Not just in the Old, but in the New Testament, where they say, you see, his life was prophesied. And so joining us in discussion and helping us make sense of it all is our elder, Elder Moyo, all the way from Malawi, the warm heart of Africa. Mdala, good afternoon to you and welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you, Derek?
No, we're doing okay, sir. And yourself?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay.
Marvelous stuff. Marvelous. So trusting that everything is going all right and the weekend was all right and you had a beautiful service as well.
Actually, yes, we did. Had a beautiful service. Also, the weekend was good, but just now the weather has started to get a little bit chilly out here, and I don't know why it seems so. But anyway, this is what it will be for now.
Madam Tala, it's winter. What do you mean, why it's so? It's winter. you want warm weather always.
I want warm weather all the time. Like, but then to be honest, we always say this, every season has a reason. There's a reason for every season.
Exactly. Yeah,
so we can't be complaining about every kind of weather that comes by. So, hey, you know, that time of the year, I guess.
You can be excused, though, Mdala. You are coming from the warm heart of Africa, so it's expected. You expect warmth all around. speaking about the sermon, I was asking you if yours was good. We had a one-minute sermon. We timed it. It was just over a minute. We were done.
1 minute.
Yeah, we had kids.
Oh, wow.
We had kids. Well, to be fair, we also had a play, which was the sermon.
Okay.
So yeah, but otherwise with kids, you know, when you have kids, on time is what you're going to get.
yes, always. That is such a beautiful thing to see always. The hearts of little ones be so dedicated.
Yeah.
And, you know,
at
least try to give the message. And it's so precise. I love it.
Yeah, indeed. And speaking of the little ones, we have a little one who was apparently prophesied. And let's turn to that. Speaking of Christ and his first advent, how that life was a fulfillment of prophecy. Maybe take us through the Old Testament prophecies and their fulfillment in the New as we begin our study this afternoon.
Actually, it's a beautiful thing that you bring that up when you look at it from the point of view of, you know, a little one having such a great purpose in this world.
Yep.
You know? So when we look at the life of Christ, however, I don't think there's anyone else we can look at to be able to say, you know, had such a great purpose and for the entire world. But then, because now, Derek, I need to ask you, how much time do we really have? Because if we were to go through all the prophecies, my friend, we will be here for a very long time.
No, maybe for this one, yeah, Muruti, I can dare say maybe let's give it about a 5 minutes talking about the prophecies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then let's do it like this. First of all, there's a few things that we need to point out, and I hope that anyone who likes to take notes would be able to take just the verses down. But then we recognize that in the life of Jesus is so incredible in that the way that the events of his life from beginning to end being prophesied in the Old Testament give rise to the fact that this is the reason why people looked back and said, but there was no man like this man. So here's an example of some of the prophecies. For example, the place of his birth. In the Old Testament, Micah 5 verse 2 says that he would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrata. When you go to the New Testament, you find Jesus was actually, and when you go to Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 2 and verse 1, you recognize that Jesus was born exactly there in Ephrata, in Bethlehem. And you know, it's an interesting thing that it's not only the place of his birth, but then who he was born to.
Okay.
The virgin birth, which, by the way, that by miles, that is one of the things that sets Jesus apart.
Yeah.
How many virgins do you know who give birth?
Yeah.
So this already sets him apart. And so when you go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, God gave the sign to say that a virgin will give birth to the child, and then you will call his name Emmanuel. When you go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, but I'll only take one part from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, where it says, he will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means Savior, by the way. And for he will save people from their sins.
Okay. Okay.
So besides that, so we've already counted out two. Next one we would say is his lineage. The fact that we always call Jesus the lion of the tribe of what?
Of Judah, yeah.
Exactly, Judah. So we recognize that in the Old Testament, this was prophesied, Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, saying that the scepter will not depart from Judah, and basically saying that the Messiah would come from the line of Judah. Next, when you actually go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord arose from the tribe of Judah. That's Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. Next, you find not only his rejection, but his betrayal and who would betray him is also pointed out. In the Old Testament, his betrayal, it says Psalms, and the Psalms were actually prophetic as well.
Okay.
Psalms chapter 41 and verse 9 says, even my own familiar friend, whom I trusted, who ate bread, has lifted his heel against me. When you go to his betrayal price, Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 12 says that, so they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. So here are the fulfillments. When you go to his betrayal, it says in the New Testament, Jesus answered, this is in John chapter 13 and verse 26. He says, it is he, Jesus answered, it is he that to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. And then talking of his price in Matthew chapter 26, it says, one of the 12, called Judas, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out for him, guess how many? 30 pieces of silver.
Wow.
And this is not coincidence. You can't look at all these and just say this is coincidence. This is just one person's life.
Yeah.
And maybe last of all, allow me to talk about his death and his resurrection.
Okay.
Psalm chapter 22 says, and David was never pierced in his hands or his feet. Yet in Psalm 22, he says, they pierced my hands and my feet. In Luke, however, we're told in chapter 23, when they had come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him, meaning that they pierced his hands and his feet.
And his feet.
And then you have the resurrection. In Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10, for you will not leave my soul in hell, or sorry, not in hell, but in the grave, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And in the New Testament, it says, he, David, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Now, if you look at all of those put together, Derek, if it happened in one, if just one of these happened in one person's life,
yeah,
sure, you could say maybe that's a coincidence.
Yeah, it's a coincidence.
But where you have all eight, well, there's so many others, so many other events, how he healed, who he healed, the healing of the blind, which, by the way, is not something that was seen before. The healing of the blind, to be seeing again, for and the witnesses all around. And even besides that, you have that if after all these witnesses saw the disciples, when they saw these things, they testified of those things and were even being put to death because they kept preaching about it. If it was fake, they would have easily been able to say, no, you know what? It's not worth dying over.
Yeah.
But they held on to that truth to show that indeed these things were true in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I was just taking a look at, as you were giving the stats there, that this New Year, you gave us about what? How many? About eight or so? To say that,
about seven. I didn't get to cover eight, but okay. Yes.
They say about the chances of one person fulfilling this is like 1 to the power 17. That's 1 to the power. Let me see if I can get this number correctly. Listen properly.
Let's try.
They say 1 in 100 quadrillion. That's the figure that they are saying. That's a serious number of zeros there.
Yeah, that's 17. It's quadrillion. You can't even think about how much that would.
And that's just for the eight, by the way. And he's got over 60 prophecies that he fulfills. So, yeah, man. And maybe let's talk a bit about that.
Yes, so I was saying that it's impossible to think of that just as being coincidence.
Coincidence, it can't be. It can't be. Or even forced. Even if you're going to go look for each and every one of those and say, let me see how I can fulfill it. That is just something that you're not going to be able to. I wanted to say, looking at all these prophecies that are being fulfilled of Christ and just how he is therefore then being the one pointed to, clearly not coincidentally, but definitively so. Why is this important, right? And what does it mean for the listener today, the viewer today, who is joining us and saying, okay, so he fulfilled a bunch of prophecies. What does that mean for me?
So here is why it's significant. There's many things in this world that we take on face value.
Okay.
Saying that, oh yeah, no, even though this has certain it has certain mistakes, it has certain things that are not so sure, but it's okay, I can go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Here is something that we are given from God, who does not lie, to say that, listen, I am sending one who will make not only your life better in this world, but in the world to come. Someone who says that I will take your sins from you, put them on myself, that you may be able to wear my righteousness. Someone who says that your life does not have to remain in darkness, but rather be brought to the light of Christ. If someone comes over with that kind of promise, with not only just the promise and you should blindly take it, no, he's saying that here is evidence that I am who I say I am, and that I will do for you what I say I will do for you.
Yes.
Then why would you not say yes to such a savior? Why would we separate ourselves from one who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that we should not perish, but rather have everlasting life? These things are not given to us. These things are not just given to us that God may show off that I know these things. But he's saying that everything that I have promised, I have done.
Yeah.
You have evidence. Now trust me to be able to take, if you would trust me, I would be able to take your life and make it so much more than what it is and make it what it is supposed to be. And you will not just feel success, but rather you will feel fulfilled in that your purpose in this world goes beyond just this world, but goes on to the next.
Yeah, you just touched my heart there, brother Moyo. I mean, this idea of saying, if you look at me, I am who I say I am. I am whom Scripture says I am. So if I am that, then surely I can be for you. I mean, I'm reminded of the song, what is it, Jireh? To say, hey, I can do for you. I am the provider. Thank you so much, Mdana. Final thoughts on today's study?
No, just simply this. Let us take the word of God to be exactly that. So when he says, one of my favorite verses is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, if you would just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you're worried about giving up, all these things that you're worried about
gaining,
these things will be added. These things that you're worried about gaining, the things you're worried about losing. He's saying, no, listen, there is more. Everything that, all those things will be added onto you. Not the bad things that you want, but all those things that are for your good. I will protect you. I will provide. I am here for you, and I've proven it. So seek him first, and all these things will be added unto you.
Amen. 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 Thank you, my elder. May God bless you and keep you until we shall again tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Derek. You have a blessed day.
Amen. Whew, what a profound message there. Seek God first. Seek him first. And everything else will be added on top.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.